Arr, Grog.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Cider Shed podcast. I'm Matthew Weir. I'm with Kerry Warbis, and we're both without Peter Fickling this week, who we have to mention because apparently we failed to mention him in the intro 2 weeks ago when he wasn't here. So he's off glamping. Kerry and I have just exchanged deletable pics on WhatsApp of what we have poured ourselves a glass of to record. How you doing, Kerry?
I'm good, yeah. He's properly glamp. He said he was camping, didn't he? And then sent a photograph and he's lying on this like double bed and there's a proper structure around him. It looked more like a proper hotel, didn't it, than any form of tent.
It looked like he was inside a sauna to me and he just dragged his bed into a sauna.
Yeah.
That pine effect on the wall.
It did a bit. And he was bare-legged as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's such a tease, isn't he?
He doesn't ever reveal his precise location. He just said he's on the Kent-Sussex border. It's like, all right, Peter, I'm not going to try and find you.
We've mused on this before. I mean, he could be a Jason Bourne type character. We don't really know, do we?
God, yes. Just imagine. He'd make a good James Bond, wouldn't he?
Yeah. While we think about what that movie title might be, should we have an ad?
Yes, please.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, Kerry, I think it's best, given that we're recording this right now, it's best if our listeners tweet in what they think a Peter Fickling 007 movie title would be. So let us know at the Cider Shed Pod on Twitter if you think you know what the title of that movie would be. Right, he can't complain he didn't get a mention in this intro, can he?
No, we've done it now. Let's move on.
Bridge Farm weirdness, as ever, Kerry.
Yeah, I very, very, very much feel for these two twins that are being brought into such a family. Lots of oddness about it. There was Tom sort of afraid to tell Pat that Caitlin, Natasha's mum, is coming earlier than they'd imagined. You could hear the fear in his voice, couldn't you? I mean, he was a bit pissed off about it as well, but I think he was mainly pissed off about it because of having to tell Pat.
Incredibly weird about it as well, in that whole little speech that he did with Pat. Oh, hang on. Hang on. What are we doing?
Get it in.
Pat chat. Pat chat. Pat chat. Pat
chat. Pat chat.
There she is. That'll cheer up about three people.
Oh, there was lots of love for that on the Twitters this week, again.
Yeah, I managed only one tweet, I think, yesterday, just saying I was going to have to dust off the Pat chat jingle because she was in it. So anyway, yeah, let's get back to what a bunch of dysfunctional folk they are.
Yeah, so this poor Caitlin woman is coming and sleeping on a sofa bed in a smallish house, from what Tom was saying about the lack of space they've got, with these new parents of twin babies. And even when Pat heard, you know, that she was coming early and Tom said, oh, we've got such little space, she didn't say, she can stay at our house. Why not try and get along with this woman and become a lovely dual force for support and goodness?
Because that won't be fun to listen to. And they're going to be at each other's throats and we're all going to love it. Finally, we're going to have some brassy Welsh mother-in-law walking in, sticking on solid as a rock every 5 minutes and dancing in the kitchen with a can of cider. I'm up for it.
Yeah.
Are we led to believe that there was something else going on because Natasha switched to Welsh, didn't she, in the hospital when she took the phone call? I am a bit of a nerd when it comes to languages. I did activate the microphone on Google Translate and I know what she said. So would you like to hear the translation?
I would love to, Matthew. I can't wait.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, hi, Mum.
Yeah, everything's fine. Just one second. I need to get rid of this dopey sausage fucker. I'll send the soppy cunt out to get me a herbal tea, even though I know full well the cafe closed a sodding hour ago. No, no, still no idea who the father is. I know, right? Laugh my fucking ass off.
She's a wrong'un. But who can blame her? Yeah. Okay. So now we know. Now we know. I wonder if anyone else has been that investigative to find out what's going to happen down the line.
That was sterling work. Yeah. There was that moment, wasn't there, when the midwife went, oh, about the second baby. And we were all wondering, well, you know, what's happened? Is it noticeably a different colour? Could it be that it's not that Tom isn't the father of both of them? Or someone said on Twitter that they were expecting it to have 666 tattooed on its forehead or something.
I thought Tom was going to be massively disappointed he didn't have a son.
Yeah, he's the type.
Yeah, that might come later, though. I mean, there's always Jack and Henry to carry on the... Well, no, because they'll take the Bruce name if Lee and Helen ever marry.
Bryce, isn't it?
It's Bryce, isn't it? I always want to say Bruce because it's Bruce Lee.
Yeah. They were messing with us, weren't they?
Yeah. They did that on purpose, didn't they? So we've got this situation, right? The kids were fine, as far as we know. We had two daughters, Nova, Saren.
So Nova means new, doesn't it?
Yeah, new and star, isn't it?
Saren is star, yeah. And the other name that they had lined up for the boy that they thought they were having was something like Saren, but it meant Holly in Welsh.
I must admit, I neglected to write that down.
I was thinking Holly for a boy, and then there's just now realised Holly Johnson.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's the only male Holly I know.
So Helen, just to tie in all of the Bridge Farm nutters, she revealed earlier in the week that she did hear Clary, Susan and Adam slagging Tom's begging online. She'd heard all of it.
Yeah.
There was that moment where she said, "What did you say? Desperate?" And Adam was like, oh, you heard that, did you? And she said, well, you know, maybe honesty works. And Adam was going to go, all right, well, fuck off then, you passive aggressive.
Yeah, take that truth bomb. Yeah. I can't get over the fact that two new little babies coming into your life and into your world should be a joyful thing. And it's just tinged with pattage, isn't it?
That's a good, I like that. And as a noun, I like it.
And she did her best to sort of go, it's understandable about Natasha wanting her own mother there.
Tom's almost crying, isn't he? He's like, she was like, you'll be glad of the extra pair of hands. He's like, I just wish they were your hands, Mum. Yeah. Like, oh my, I was on the bus at the time. I was like, I'm going to vom. This is going to be awkward. He reminds me of that kid in the first series of Game of Thrones that's still breastfeeding at the age of 10 from the Queen.
But don't you feel sorry for the poor bastard?
Yeah, I do. They have no idea what they've got into. I mean...
Yeah. Pink and the blue cardigan are the least of their worries. Oh, how traditional. That was a weird bit of scripting, wasn't it? Where Natasha said something about, I really thought the world had moved on from those kinds of lazy gender distinctions.
Yeah, well, they're just throwing everyone a bone there, aren't they?
Yeah.
Or not. So yeah, later she's talking to Helen and she said that, you know, she's going to reverse those gender norms and the boy will be in pink and the girl will be in blue. Well, you got two girls, so suck it up.
Now what?
Rip them in half and get Clary to knit them back together as like a half and half, just to make the statement.
She won't give a shit about any of that when her tits are bursting full of milk and she can barely walk or because of lack of sleep, and you know that you don't care what they're wearing. I loved it when she said to Helen she was worried about what comes after, and Helen sort of went, what do you mean? As if she's never had to think about that a day in her life.
I thought Helen was going to pull a Ouija board out.
And she said, helpfully, Helen said, babies are people.
Yeah, I mean, she's the oracle, isn't she? We've had Adam this week. I mean, Helen last week was only discovered. Sorry, you were going to go on Helen hate there, weren't you? Go on.
Well, no, I was just going to say the other thing she said was it's all about busking, which was a bit weird when you've got two newborns, isn't it?
Well, you got to make money somehow. So we had Helen last week who didn't know anything about posting an envelope. And Adam this week, despite the fact that he's married to a chef, had never heard of sweet pizza, which is a bit bizarre.
Or even Nutella ones that are ubiquitous and revolting in my books, but you know.
Yeah, I'm not a big sweet pizza fan, but I know for at least 25 years that they've existed. And then Tom shows up with a load of carrots that no one needs. And then they're just like, oh, no one needs those. And he's like, well, budge everything along. I'm just going to put these carrots down. I'm like, we don't fucking need them, mate. We just told you that.
That was his way of sort of, because it then meant he went, I'm all over the place at the moment. It was a real sort of shoehorning in of, we're really worried and anxious about what's ahead of us. Here's 100 weight of carrots to show you that I've lost my mind.
Yeah, and they said at the end of this week, you know, we're going to dead this. This is all I've ever wanted. I'm going to dedicate my life to them. I was like, yeah, I give this about a month. You know, it won't be long before bloody Nova's got her head stuck in a Summer Orchard juice bottle and Tom's packed Serin off in a box full of carrots to the other side of Borchester that no one ordered.
It's a bit like Clary said to Natasha, Eddie, he was always looking for things to do on the farm as soon as the babies came along. And you can just imagine him scarpering and having no part to play in the tricky, tricky business of bringing up little ones.
Oh, you just got to go and have a look at those piss take fences.
It was weird to not hear the birth bit. I was looking forward to some sound effects of babies being tugged out of a gaping womb.
I reckon there's still space in this story for Natasha to do a runner like she did straight after the wedding. Do you remember straight after the wedding? She just vanished. She suddenly realised, why have I married into this shower of shit? I can't be here anymore. And she buggered off back to Wales for about 3 weeks, didn't she?
Yes, she did. I mean, she's changed a lot since then, hasn't she?
What, clothes?
She's mellowed, hasn't she? Oh, that was another thing Clary said about when she'd had the baby. She didn't have a shower for weeks or something.
Should we do a messy segue? Last week, Chelsea's feet were stinking up the living room. This week, Chelsea, not so much stinking up the storyline. She was all right this week, wasn't she? She was trying to do something nice for her mum on her birthday.
She was semi all right. She was still a bitch to Brad.
Yeah, but I think that's just sibling rivalry, isn't it? That's going to happen.
Yeah, I thought his points were valid, though, weren't they? He's unemployed and she's insisting he hands over 50 quid without finding out whether he might need it for something else. And also, I thought Brad had a fair point about whether Tracy would prefer to have the cash. And I know it's dull to sort of spend it on bills and what have you, but when you have no money, to then be sort of in a hotel spa when you're living on chickpea curry, it might be a bit jarring, I think.
I think that it's quite believable that a teenager is not going to part with money they've earned themselves. That's probably quite a big deal for him, isn't it? So to have Chelsea waltz in, who seems to have a regular job at the Orangery, I think that's probably him just saying, no, I'm not going to do that. What do you think? Money or present?
Chelsea's a bloody hairdresser, isn't she? She could do nice, you know, have a foot spa and do her hair and nails and maybe help around the house a bit more, because Tracy's always doing the washing and cooking the meals and things. Those two are old enough to make some dinners. Just take the lighten her load generally. That's a massive gift.
Well, we had the Tracy crying in the kitchen, didn't we? Or I presume it was the kitchen when Jazza came in and found her. And it seems to be now we hear about the awful Gemma again, who seems to be a workplace bully. And Jazz is pointing out that's borderline harassment.
Harassment burns.
It does as well, trust me. I've worked in kitchens.
Ooh, I bet.
I remember coming up the ranks. Sorry, that sounds bad. Emma's still got a part to play in all of this, I think. There has to be some moment where she confronts her old friend Gemma. Anyway, I don't know how they're going to work that in. Or Gemma will make the connection. I'm surprised she hasn't made the connection already. In small communities, people generally talk and they would know that. But
yeah.
Is she going to like the idea that her kids are just going to give her money to help with the utilities? Or do you think she would actually prefer to go and have a holiday like Peter is having right now?
I just think it's a bit extravagant when times are hard to send her to this spa place where she's going to, what would she get? A massage, a sauna, and was it a facial? Give her that, can't
Yeah. Well, there's two things you want on your birthday, isn't it? Either a facial. What?
A faceful.
A facial. Or, I mean, normally your other half promises you a chocolate hedgehog, so.
Will you be getting a chocolate hedgehog, Matthew, over the weekend as your birthday is the day after Tracy's?
I don't know if I'm getting a chocolate hedgehog. I might be getting a chocolate facial. because I'm going to get stuck into some cake. I don't know. No plans. Just going to the beach. No real plans beyond that. It's been a busy week. Been a bit of a social butterfly this week. I was at an open air cinema last night,
overlooking the river. Stunning.
Hey, tell me this, Kerry. Imagine this concept on a hot, balmy evening in England. So it's a fiver in to this cinema.
Yeah.
They give you a blanket, which you can keep, and the bar is free.
No.
Yeah, it's a white wine, Vino Vergi themed event.
What was the film?
I'm Not Your Negro, which is a very powerful movie. Recommend anyone go and look that up if they haven't seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was trying to imagine that concept in England. If you gave everyone a free bar and a cinema, I think there might be carnage. I don't know.
Yeah, they'd all be running around with the blankets on their heads, sort of biffing into each other. Yeah.
I'm reminded of a beer festival I went to about 2 weeks after I arrived in Brazil. And we went, and it was the equivalent of a tenner in. And we went in, and there's all these artisan brewers there. So they give you a cup. And the first thing I do is I walk up to this first machine that has taps on it. And my then girlfriend said to me, now my wife, said, "What are you waiting for?" And I said, "Well, that guy's going to serve us." She went, "No, you serve yourself." So I served myself. And then she was like, "Now what are you waiting for?" I was like, "I'm waiting to pay." And she went, "Matthew, everything's free. It's included in the tenner ticket." And we got there about 12. We left about 3 or 4. Everyone seemed to be going in a cycle. I was like, the Bristol Beer Festival's about 20 in, and then you have to pay on top of that for each pint you have. This would never work.
No. Maybe we should try it out somehow.
Well, our first ever meetup, free beer and cider, everyone. I did offer everyone who voted for us in the British Podcast Awards listener's choice one pint of cider or a drink that would match of equal value. So
yeah, so that's about 5 pints we owe people.
Yeah, no worries.
I did think it was funny when Clary gave Natasha cake, by the way, and when she's diabetic. And she said she didn't say she looks like an elephant. She said she's like an elephant to Oliver. I thought, is that why you're giving her iced buns? There is a thing about elephants and iced buns, isn't there? I haven't imagined that. Have I imagined that?
Oh, no, they're believed to like them.
Are they? Is there anything they don't like, though?
Steve Irwin.
Also, I had another theory, which you can shoot out of the water.
I thought you could say which I can shit on.
You can shit on it merrily. Could they employ Tracy as a nanny?
I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah.
I didn't like the fact we suddenly swung. We always get these kind of stories of hardship, and then we hear how the other half live in the Archers, don't we? So this week we had Susan and Chelsea labouring over whether they should spend 100, and then Susan's like, "I've got 50 in my purse, I'll give it to you now." And then we cut to Alice giving Shula a cheque for, I don't know, about 30 grand or something, whatever she paid for her stay in rehab.
Where the fuck did she get that money from, by the way?
From Dad, maybe. Who knows? But there was that moment where Shula was like, "Oh, this is a lot of money. Thank you." And just shoved it in her pocket. I was like, "That'll, you know, you're just made for the C of E collection box, aren't you?" "Oh, you have no money left. The roof is failing at the church, by the way. You're going to pay or not? Do you want to go to heaven?"
Yeah, that annoyed me a bit because I thought, well, where's Alice got this cash from that she sort of, you know, she's making out that she's saved up and given it to her, you know, and she's paid in installments, hasn't she? I mean, if it was Daddy, wouldn't Daddy have just paid the whole lot? How much is Alice earning, if anything?
I reckon she's hacked into Amy's bank account and she's just slowly siphoning money off.
Oh, that would be good. I'd approve of that.
I did mention Shula there. The pioneers talk of imagining a new future. Can you imagine a new future in Ambridge, Kerry?
I can imagine a future Ambridge without Shula. I do that quite a lot. Yeah. Although Alice can't, she said.
Oh, I hope they're not going to do what... nobody believed Kirsty was going to Plovdiv, did they?
Mm.
Even though Locomotive Plovdiv needed a manager, we just knew she wasn't going. And it was Linda that talked her out of it. If they tease the leaving of Shula and she gets dragged back in, I will be so... Well, I won't be as mad as you, but I'll be mad.
Fuming. This whole Shula thing sucks big fat elephant cocks. The fact that she listened to a friend and lent her some cash, which has been paid back pretty quickly, and helped her partner out, which is Alistair from the gambling, she's now somehow projected into the stratosphere as Mother Teresa figure by Alice, isn't she? Oh, you've got a special quality. You know, not many people have this. It's like she's barely done anything.
There's the thing as well where Alice is saying, I can't imagine you in some like quiet, being a curate in some quiet, staid, cozy parish. I was like, I can imagine that. Now yeah, bugger off.
That's exactly what we can imagine.
Go and bloody touch the rank of the dispossessed or stay with some lepers or whatever yeah, this lot do. I mean, I just wrote Scientology in big letters. I think that's where she belongs.
Yeah, because she said about the dispossessed, didn't she? She'd be helping the dispossessed. Does that mean you help them become possessed? If you're stopping them be dispossessed. It's like, I can imagine that as well.
Get them into the position where the dispossessed can now become possessed, and then get Alan to do the exorcism.
Oh, God. Yeah, she's bloody awful, isn't it? And she's so sort of distracted by all this, she can't even be asked to go and look at the cross-country course, which everyone keeps going, Have you checked how it's going? No, I haven't checked how it's going. Shall I go and check how it's going? Alice went on a mere and even she didn't check how it was going. She went up the Hassett Hills.
I reckon they're going to turn around one day, have a look over, and it's like an It's a Knockout set coupled with an SAS assault course.
Oh, I used to love It's a Knockout. The giant shoes and people on elastic trying to go up greasy slopes.
I liked the way the commentary sounded like it was coming down a telephone. I always liked that on old football matches from Europe as well, where they had to do the commentary down the telephone line.
Yes.
Years after, when we had digital technology in the late 90s, the system failed one night and they had to go back to the old school commentary. And it was watching some Champions League game. I was like, this is bloody brilliant. Now I believe they're in Europe.
Yeah.
There was that moment where Alice said to Shula, the world is full of people who don't know how to listen. I think all the listeners at that point were like, can you teach me how not to listen, please?
It was a funny, funny week. We do say this every single week, obviously. But when we were talking before the pod began about what the topics would be, not the toppings, we were a bit stumped, weren't we? It was like, yeah, obviously the twins have been born. Not much to say about that. Tracy's financial troubles. Yeah, okay. Again, this is ongoing. The mother's coming early but hasn't arrived yet. Adam choked Jean Harvey to death.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that's one thing we can talk about. Well, that was the best thing to come out of Jill and Pip's chat, wasn't it? Was that, yes, Adam, despite being the Pitts, failed to pit and ended up nearly... What do you think of the pizza toppings, by the way, first of all, before we go any further?
Okay, wild flavours, according to Adam. Beetroot pesto and feta. No, thank you. Feta on a pizza, just wrong.
Doesn't melt properly.
Terrible, awful. Dry, 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 that would be, wouldn't it? It's all sort of trying too hard to be a little bit out there. I didn't believe you could have a sweet pizza topping, but rhubarb and basil with a sweet barbecue honey sauce sounds awful, but you've got to try it.
Yeah, you're really selling it, Adam.
Try that. I quite like rhubarb, to be honest with you, but not on a bloody pizza.
One of the reasons I think that they actually fell foul of the WI wasn't because of the choking. It was because of the jingle they've got for their van. Have you heard it?
Am I about to? Oh, I like it when you surprise me. What a belter of a theme tune that is, by the way.
It's a banger, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yeah, also, there was a theory on Twitter today that there was never an Olive Stone at all and that Jean Harvey just did that to sort of put them off being able to have their pizzas at the fete.
Well, Ian apparently immediately knew what to do in that situation, which I thought was just like to pull on a... No, I can't make that joke.
Oh, go on.
No, I can't.
Just say it. You don't have to leave it in. Oh, that's good. You can decide later whether you leave that in. Okay. Yeah. Let's go back to, would you be that arsed about taking the stones out of thousands of olives?
Helen said they come ready pitted. You can buy really good ones that are pitted. Apparently Ian threw his hands up in despair. I was like, are you sure it wasn't because you were talking, Adam, at that moment? I think it was anything to do with the olives.
But it's all well and good throwing your arms up in despair. Adam was the one who had to get the stones out, wasn't it? Bloody chefs making other people do the laborious, repetitive stuff.
I know. I remember once getting a whole bunch of people to help in a kitchen in Australia in someone's house. And I gave someone a bunch of baby spinach to de-stem. And I said, I've got a really cool job for you. Just take all the stems off this spinach. And about 2 minutes later, this friend of mine's younger brother turned around, Matthew, this isn't a cool job at all. And I was like, oh, shit, he's on to me.
Yeah, that sounds awful. Pizza, wheats, will they be allowed to? Nobody cares at all, do they?
Well, the jingle might win everyone over.
Yeah.
Who wants to be a millionaire shortbread eater? You, Kerry? Don't even know what it fucking is.
You do.
I don't.
It's shortbread with then a sort of caramel layer.
I thought you'd say with venison.
Yeah, with wild garlic. No, it's got a caramel layer and then solid sort of chocolate topping.
Oh, yeah. I do know what it is.
Yeah. That was quite funny, wasn't it? That, you know, Jill's been just shoveling that down Rosie's gullet on the sofa because she's practically immobile.
Yeah, and she was like, do you know what else? I've bought her an ice cream making kit for children, a chocolate hedgehog, which we've mentioned before, and a year-long voucher for KFC. She's going to love it.
Yeah, and Pip, how she confronted her. I need to talk to you about the millionaire shortbread. And then the bloody hedgehog thing. She said, oh, she can still have that. It's fine. But she will only be allowed a modest portion that's sufficient for a three-year-old.
Because I think at that point, once you've seen somebody starting to carve up a hedgehog in front of you, you might actually not want it anymore. I mean, if you've seen roadkill before, it's, you know, it ain't pretty.
Oh, it's just silly, isn't it? All this uptightness. Just keep an eye on things.
She'll be all good on her balance bike though, won't she? So it'll be fine.
So that's one that doesn't have pedals, isn't it?
It's one that you control with your feet on the floor, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's, you know, because stabilizers are woke these days. So you just have to get out there and fall over on your ass. Yeah. Like people did in the 50s.
Yeah, like we used to do.
Can you remember your first bike, Kerry, by the way?
I had a right good trike at first. See, what's wrong with a trike? It was red. And none of this silly two wheels at the front, one at the back stuff that they have nowadays on scooters and things.
I'm going to make a series of like grainy black and white photos of Kerry staring into the middle distance, and there'll be quotes, and one of them's going to be, what's wrong with a trike, eh? I was thinking another one from last week would be, there weren't mobile phones when my earthquake happened. And there's one from a long time ago, which I already made an inspirational meme from, which was, I think I just put like a Tibetan pathway. And I put a quote underneath that said, I don't remember the years of egg problems. Which was in relation to Listeria and Edwina Curry,
yes,
wasn't it?
It was.
And I, for some reason, I know like a bullet into my brain that was 1988.
Ooh, see, I'm not good at remembering specific years.
Of egg problems.
Yeah, the years of egg problems, I don't remember. Or any years, really, specifically. I'm a veritable guru.
We can't get out of here without slightly discussing the weird Adil Airbnb nonsense.
Yes, I've got a new name for him.
Go on.
You're going to love it.
Okay.
Adil Shah.
That is amazing. How did I never think of that?
I thought you probably would have. Because he said, oh, I've been out running. I've got a right sweat on. I really want a shower. And then I was like, Adil Shah? Adil Shah. It's like a posh person saying Shah.
His middle name is Singh's in the
Singh. Yeah. Adil Singh Shah.
Oh.
God, this is just genius, isn't it?
They're playing with us. Whatever the hell the B&B is called.
Ambridge Hall.
Ambridge Hall, that's it. Mm. So we've got Justin, Lillian and Adil under one roof. It's all a bit awkward. Everything's contradictory as well, because Lillian said earlier in the week that Justin didn't want to drag himself across town to go to this thing that Adil and Oliver are hosting. So Oliver is still involved because he's 40% still in.
Mm-hmm.
I presume we get to learn something about the new owners.
We won't.
Let's just skip past that because...
Yep.
it's been done to death. But he was very up for it when he was talking to Adil. And there was also that moment Adil's teasing him about the way he talks to the dog, Ruby, isn't it?
Yes.
And this awkward moment about Adil being, I thought it might be a little bit lazy, Adil being nervous around dogs. I know, for example, Adil's Muslim, isn't he?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, I mean, most Muslim people that I worked with in Dublin were really not cool around dogs. And I don't know if that's some thing that's cultural. I did ask a friend of mine once why he was like that. And he said, because where from the city that he was, grew up in, the dogs were often, there were lots of street dogs and everyone was very, which there are in Brazil and there are here in Portugal as well, but people are very wary of them for some reason. They're not as much a domesticated animal, I think, in a lot of those countries as they would be. But I thought there was a little bit of a cultural reference being thrown in there. He was nervous. But he wasn't too put out about Ruby jumping around in his bed in the end. So
yeah, it is funny though, that some dog people just presume that everyone has to be accommodating of their dog desires and wishes. And, you know, the fact that, how did Ruby even get into his room? I don't really understand that.
Lillian was being an absolute knob as well, wasn't she? Like, well, it's absolutely, what do you mean he's in your bed? What do you mean you want me to go and get him now, do you?
Yeah, I'm shoveling croissants into my fat head. Yeah, she was a cow.
That's going on an inspirational poster.
See, I'm no fan of Adil, really. He's been abominable. Oh, and also, where do you think he was going for his, I'm going out for supper, I'll be back late, don't bolt the door?
Kirsty's.
But it wasn't mentioned, was it? It didn't say. No. And we never heard.
It's a little tease, isn't it?
Yeah, but he's sort of playing people a little, isn't he? He's being super polite, but pulling people up on certain things. Kind of like you say, he was challenging Justin a bit, but still staying on the right side of him as well.
Helen's taking Tony to this bloody thing, isn't she?
Yes, yeah. Woohoo! That sounds fun. The future of Grey Gables at Felpisham Conference Centre. Why would Felpisham have a fucking conference centre?
I reckon Tony's going to get the job driving some like mini kiddies train that tracks that are going to go around the grounds. That's going to be in some kind of Mr. Chuffy style hat. You remember Armstrong and Miller?
Yeah.
Tony's going to have an outfit. That was one of the best comedy ideas ever. Like a Morse guy that's so drunk he just imagines. As an imaginary friend, which no, who's actually a kid is like interpretation of a train driver. Yeah, so that's what I think. I mean, God knows what Tony's going to be doing there. Just walking around, getting in everyone's way.
But it seems a bit strange. So this is a launch, isn't it? And to, what did they call it? Something like the makers and shakers, movers and shakers. That was it. Movers and shakers of the area in the business world when it's not going to be open for at least another year. Is that normal? I don't know. Could be.
Yeah. The way that Roy and Adil have been talking about it was like, it's imminent. We have to get everything going. And then when you hear from Oliver, a year, maybe at the least, he said, didn't he? It'll probably be more than that. Like, okay. All right. How long are they going to drag this bloody thing out?
And this conference thing, it's going to be the week after next. So we've got a little bit of grace period to not bother with it. But Linda was up in arms a little bit about it being, you know, it was supposed to be the centre of Ambridge, blah, blah, blah. But it's, you know, out in Felpisham. So I was wondering if she might set up some sort of video link where the Ambridge folk can see the meeting or a summit.
Oh, blimey.
Would you stay at Linda's B&B? Because I think, yeah, she's being extra twatty to Adil with these rules. But I reckon she's probably quite uptight about that sort of thing anyway as a hostess.
Well, she had her eyes open, didn't she, when Adil started explaining what he'd seen going on elsewhere.
Yes, so, the sausages under the table.
That's a bit Fawlty Towers, isn't it?
Yes. I don't know why is he staying there, I wonder.
Because he wants to get in touch with the real community. Apparently. And now all he's doing is getting told, like, you can't sing in the shower. He's like, there may have been complaints. He's like, there are no other guests here. What are you talking about? You know, I did quite like that as a comeback. And now he's got Lillian and Justin to hang out with as well. They're escaping the chaos of the kitchen installment.
Yeah.
Justin revealed they were moving things, masonry things. So I was like, what? Have they found all his, like, statues of Ramesses II and dead prostitutes?
All his leather aprons and stuff. Yeah, because I don't think we ever knew that he'd for sure purchased one of those bloody kitchens, did we?
Surely Jazza should have kept the job on the back of that.
Yeah, massive commission.
It's just because Fern,
yeah,
she didn't like going around having to talk to that guy's ferret, Barry's ferret. She got the hump.
Yeah, but I knew that she'd gone round there, but we didn't know that they'd actually gone ahead with it, did we? The sale, the kitchen, nothing. Anyway, I don't even know why I'm talking about it.
Should we have an ad?
Yes.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Okay, Kerry, before we go any further, who are your future leaders in the UK? I can barely keep up.
Oh dear, it's looking like it's Liz Truss and or Rishi Sunak. But I think she's supposedly slightly nudging ahead. I don't know why or how. Wasn't she? She was a Lib Dem at some point, wasn't she?
Lib Dem, anti-monarchy, etc. So who dropped out? So we had little Tommy Gunn Tugendhat. He dropped out early on because he didn't realise that the logo he'd selected was two T's together, which left a large rectangle between the two T's, which looked like an I, which spelt tit, which he obviously hadn't thought through.
No.
There was Penny Mordaunt, which everyone was up for. I mean, but then everyone went after her, didn't they? The right-wing press even started trashing her because supposedly she'd not been honest about being in the Navy.
Yeah, she had lots of photographs of her having some military background. But she's now going to make sure that people don't vote for... I've forgotten which one it is. She doesn't want to win. One of the two morons, anyway.
I'm surprised at that she would have been a vote winner, because most Tories are obsessed with pretending they've been in the armed forces. So I thought she would have gone down a treat with them. If a household in Ambridge were to raise Rishi Sunak and Liz Truss, which one of the houses of Ambridge would they come from? Because I've got my theories.
Well, Rishi certainly hasn't come from humble beginnings, has he?
Do you think he's a Rory?
Golly, could be all the economics and what have you. Money, isn't it?
I mean, Truss is a hybrid of Helen and Tom, isn't she? Because she says that importing cheese is a disgrace, and she goes on about pork markets.
Yes, that video is special, isn't it? The pauses and the stupid looks to camera. And
have you seen the Michael Spicer Room Next Door sketch?
I probably have a bit, yeah. I mean, oh God, it's so mortifyingly embarrassing, isn't it? They have no shame, though, so it makes no odds, does it? Yeah, she's a fool. So, yeah, Helen and Tom mixed together.
All right. So if you have any theories on which household in Ambridge would have spawned the last two in the leadership race, how can people find us on Twitter, Kerry?
Yes, we are at the Cider Shed Pod on Twitter. We have over 2,300 followers now, which is marvellous. And thank you. I must say thank you for the new 5-star reviews from HJH at HFH this week. And last week I forgot to mention Planet Jess and Catherine Jeb for their brilliant 5-star reviews. Keep them coming, folks.
Okay, if you want to find us on Instagram, we are at The Cider Shed Pod. And if you want to find us on Facebook, we have a group, which is called The Cider Shed Podcast. And we also have an email you can get in touch. Peter always feels that the Twitter and the Instagram and the Facebook gets the love and the email doesn't. So if you've got anything you want to say to us via email and you don't like going on the socials, go to hello@thecidershed.com. Kerry, it's my birthday weekend, so I'm just off to get smashed into a chocolate hedgehog. And then what else do people do on their birthday? Drink 2 bottles of pink fizz.
Yeah, and have a bit of a meltdown, probably. But happy birthday, darling, darling Matthew.
I know, by the time this goes out on Sunday, I will actually be a different age to the age I am now.
I don't know what age you are, actually. I always forget you and Peter are the same, aren't you?
No, well, 23 is a very nothing age, so I'm not going to celebrate much, to be honest.
But you are the same age as Peter, aren't you?
I am. I'm 6 months older than him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that shows.
Yes, you're so much more mature. Well, have a wonderful time.
I will. And you have a good one too, Kerry. I hear you've got 0 plans, which sounds awesome.
It is awesome. It's empty. The following weekend, I'm going to Cambridge and punting on the river and things like that for the whole weekend.
When you say punting, do you mean trying to sell dodgy shit?
Yeah. I'll sell out, me.
Okay, everyone, on that note.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And we will see you next week. Yeah, bye.
See you next week.
Hello.